In other words, the origin of the diabolical image of the Jew, the Jews are the children of the devil, already emerges in this text. And as you will see, that particular image, particularly as it's presented in medieval iconography, you know, the paintings of the medieval church, is the way the church communicates to the illiterate, essentially the Gospels themselves. And you will see, painted in so much of this artwork, diabolical images of Jews, with goatees, for example, or a snake wrapped around them. There is a remarkable image of ecclesia as opposed to synagoga. Ecclesia, of course, is the church. Synagoga is represented by a woman with all kinds of devil figures around her and so on. Lean over, her staff is broken, a snake around her neck and so on. And then, of course, Jews who look like little devils advocates. Clearly, that diabolical image is not a small image in the iconography and also in the literary legacy of the church. And it emerges, of course, in John. So here, then, is another stage in this development. Initially, the Gospels themselves single out the Jewish leadership for hostility, for hatred, blaming them, the Christ killers. And now we have a greater abstraction, to the point where now we're speaking about Jews in general. And we're speaking about them as sons of the devil and so on. So from this, the end of the first century, there seems to be a parting of the ways. Now, I guess I should correct myself, or at least refine what I said, by at least mentioning that in recent years, there is a new scholarship which argues that they never really parted, that the separation between Christianity and Judaism never fully took place, that there was much commingling, much boundary crossing, so to speak, much hybridity between Christianity and Judaism, even into the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th century. And you will see that there is indeed a dialogue going on between Jews and Christians throughout this period. You hear echoes of it, for example, in the Palestinian Talmud from the Jewish perspective. And of course, the literature I'm going to speak about now, that is the literature of the patristic literature, the literature of the church fathers, is filled with a concern for Judaism, and many of these themes are developed. So that the dialogue still goes on, but beyond the official circles, there seems to be also all kinds of connections going on. But nevertheless, in the first century, something dramatic did happen. The Gospel of John, on the one hand, the malediction against sectarians, the Birkat HaMinim, on the other hand, did seem to signal, at least officially, a kind of parting of the ways. My next stage that I want to describe takes us from the 2nd to the 6th century. And here, of course, is the patristic age, the age of the emergence of a powerful church, the success of the church in converting the Roman Empire in the 4th century, and the strengthening of this church, and the decline of Jewish life in the Roman Empire, and so on. During this period of time, we have a literature written by the church fathers. And what Rosemary Ruther has done, and of course she hasn't made this up, this comes from other literature, there is clearly a tradition within this literature which is called adversos Judaeos, that is, against Judaism. And within that segment of patristic literature, we find the following themes. The Jews are rejected, while the Gentiles are elected as the new chosen people. Jewish law and practice is carnal, is inferior, is material, while the spiritual law of the Christian, the circumcision of the heart, as opposed to the circumcision of the flesh, for example, is to be emphasized. So here we have this kind of dichotomy between the bad guys and the good guys. The church fathers also emphasize the theme of two peoples with respect to the Old Testament. And here is a most telling point that the Old Testament itself, that is the Hebrew Bible, if you pick up the prophets, you have a ready-made literature of castigation against the Jews. The prophets loved the people, but they also were very firm parents. They said, you're doing things wrong. Look, you are chosen, but you're breaking God's law. And therefore, the prophet plays two roles. He is a reconciler, he is a comforter, he is one that gives a community strength when it needs strength. He also is a rebuker. He is also a castigator. He is also one who points out the ills of society.